I think it's time for the church to stand up and be praying more dangerous prayers. Standing and fighting in the right places in prayer for what needs to happen in our country, right? It's not too late to be praying for the election, right? To be praying for God's will, to be praying that we'll have a heart of love and grace and gratitude regardless of what happens on Tuesday, right? Make sure you vote. Don't skip it. Vote. We have a duty and an obligation. Vote scripture, vote Bible, vote those things, right? You'll stand before the Lord on how you vote. Just realize that. But vote, all right? And then we do all of that, and then we say, Lord, you're still king. No matter what happens, right? Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, we wake up, God's still on the throne, right? Thank you, Jesus, right? The cross is still available for all, and we got a lot of things to do for his kingdom still, regardless, all right? So we can kind of take a breath and release and relax in knowing that God has got it, amen? But pray for our country, pray for our leaders, pray for our churches, that we can continue to be the light and love for Jesus. I believe that as we experience the presence of God through his word, we will be strengthened in faith and begin boldly praying dangerous prayers. So what do I mean by dangerous prayers, all right? These are prayers, again, of faith. Not just safe little prayers. And again, not that those don't matter, but not just God bless this food, God keep me safe, but faith-filled prayers. I'm talking about bold prayers, risky prayers, praying in the spirit, storming the gates of hell, those types of prayers, all right, church? We got to wake up, and we've got to be fighting the right place, which is in prayer. Prayers where we need God to move the heavens and earth because we're charging into the enemy's territory, taking back what's stolen, not hiding in our houses. And Halloween night's a perfect example, right? And again, wherever you come from on Halloween, we don't celebrate Halloween, absolutely not. But so many people go in their house and shut their light off. We have an opportunity on those nights to take the love and Jesus, the light of Jesus, into the literal darkness. Like, oh my goodness, walk your streets. You don't have to pass out candy and dress up. Go out on that night and walk around. Bring the light of Jesus to the places where literally hundreds and hundreds of people are out. The only night of the year where people, your whole neighborhood is out. Talk about an evangelistic opportunity. It's that night. Amen? Am I the only one? Right. We are called to go to the dark, to push back the enemy, not run and hide. Right? Wasn't that little song when you were little, right? This little light of mine, right? I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then it said, right, hide it under a bush.
No.
I'm going to let it shine. We're not called to hide and scour back. We are called to pray dangerous prayers and push back evil and push back darkness because we have the power of Jesus in us. And where we go, where our feet walk, when we step into places, we bring the light and love of Jesus with us, and demons flee because of that. Huh. We have some work to do, church. We got some work to do in our lives and in our prayer lives. We've got to be praying prayer-filled, faith-filled, dangerous prayers. Prayers where nothing is going to change unless God does something. These are prayers that are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Because why? They're going to build you up. They're going to challenge you to step out in faith. They're going to take you out of your comfort zone. This series is going to be for anyone who's stuck in a prayer rut. You're praying repetitive prayers. They're predictable and safe. This is for you. We serve a God who can do more than we can ask or imagine. That's the God we serve. He's the God of miracles. We sang it. He's the same God. If he did it then, he can do it now. Amen. But we have to pray those prayers. It's time, church, to stop playing safe. It's time to stop hiding, closing our doors. We need to be out and about bringing the light of Jesus. So are you ready for more? Are you ready for your prayers to move from small and safe to dangerous? Are you ready for them to be honest and desperate and fiery? Gutsy and real, with an expectation for God to act on your behalf? Because if so, this is the next couple of weeks, may you just allow the Lord to change you. May you allow the Lord to call you out of that comfort place. Jesus prayed a dangerous prayer in the garden, if you remember. Knowing what was ahead, Jesus asked God, if there was another way, is there another way? Then Jesus prayed a vulnerable and dangerous prayer of submission. Luke 22:42, you guys know the scripture very well. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. That was the dangerous prayer he was praying. But then he submits to the Father's will. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. You see, Jesus never asks us to do something that he wouldn't do or has already done. He calls us to live a life of faith, not a life of comfort. He calls us to follow him. Jesus lived a faith-filled life. He actually lived a dangerous faith. Let's talk about that for a moment. He touched lepers, which was, against what people did. He showed grace to prostitutes. There would probably be people in the church that would say, oh, you shouldn't go talk to those prostitutes. They would have said that to Jesus. That's a religious spirit. He stood bravely in the face of danger. We are told in Scripture to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16 says it well in the NLT. I'm waiting for it to come on the screen. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I'm going to read that again. So let us, all right, we get the ability. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to come to somebody else. We get to boldly come to the throne of grace, right, our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it most. I don't know about you guys, but we should be doing that daily, if not multiple times. I don't want to get to a point in my life and my relationship with Jesus where I don't need him, where I think I got it figured out, all right, where I think I can even get through a day without him, without his presence, without his word, without his guidance. Who do we think we are that we can go without being in his presence, right? We don't have to approach his presence timidly or feel awkward. Isn't that beautiful? We can come before him with confidence, assurance, and boldness. Do you get that? It doesn't matter what you've done. None of that matters. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're his child, you're his son and daughter, we have the ability to come into his presence and pray bold prayers. I don't know about you, but there are people in my life who need miracles. There are people in our church who need miracles of healing. That's why we believe in prayer. People on the other end of that are waiting for our desperate prayers. But sometimes we're just okay with to pray a prayer, oh Lord, bless our food today, and we're good with that. May God help us, right? Change our mindset, change where we've been at. Your prayers matter. And how you pray matters. Today we're going to be talking about the dangerous prayer, two words, search me. Do you dare pray this prayer? Lord, search me. What would change in your life and the lives of those around you if you began to pray bold, dangerous prayers like, search my heart? We're going to be looking at Psalm 139 in a moment, so you can open up your scripture to that. King Saul accused David of treason, and he sent his full forces after him, repeatedly attempting to take David's life. With all of his heart, David wanted to please God. He fought against his anger so he could protect and show honor to the king. David wrote many of the Psalms, which were songs, prayers that come out of his heart. Psalm 139 is a beautiful representation of that, and we're going to read it here in a moment. Yet knowing his motives were not always perfect, David surrendered his heart before the Lord and prayed one of the most vulnerable, transparent, and dangerous prayers you'll ever hear. Wanting to honor God, David prayed, search me, God, not search this person or that person, or hey, over there, why don't you go search what they got going on? No. He said, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He's putting it all back. God, do a work in me. Change me. Show me. Reveal to me where I'm missing it. Guys, I really believe as a church, and I mean a church as a whole, this is where we've missed it. We've missed it in repentance. We've missed it in having time where we're saying to the Lord, search me and know my heart. Show me where I'm off, where I'm just wrong. Right? We get real busy doing even good things, and we don't take the time to pray that prayer. I'm going to challenge us, church, to begin praying this prayer. We'll start today. Lord, search me and know my heart. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 139. For right now, we're just going to read, let's start from the beginning. We're going to read the whole chapter. I wasn't planning on reading the whole chapter, but we're going to read it because it's just so good. So it won't be all on the screen, so you'll have to look at your device. So Psalm 139 starts out like this. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. So you hear a lot in this, you know, up until this point, right? He's talking about how good God is and how he's everywhere and he knows him. And it's almost like a love story, right? And then it gets to this part because, you know, David was being literally chased. I mean, Saul was sending armies out to kill him, all right? So he had a lot of enemies, a lot of things going on that weren't good. And so even in this chapter, it switches from like this beautiful conversation about who God is to like, okay, so can you get rid of these bad people over here that are chasing me, right? He gets a little human. He gets a little like, you know, like we would get sometimes, right? But then verse 23, again, it switches back. Obviously, he might have just gone, you know what? Maybe I'm being a little fleshly, being a little human, and now I'm going to go back to, okay, verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Verse 24, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So much in that chapter, and I would encourage you to go back and just read it again. It's a beautiful, there's so much about who God is in relationship to us and how he loves us and he knows us. We don't have time to spend on that today. That's a whole other sermon series. But we're known by God and he loves us and he sees every part of our life from the beginning to the end. He knew Mark was going home this week. Isn't that beautiful? But David gets to this point and he's like, search me, God. He realizes his need for that prayer. Be forewarned that if you start praying dangerous prayers, they have the potential to convict you, to correct you, to redirect your life, to change the way you see yourself and others. So just realize, I challenge you to start praying this way, but it's going to cause you to have to take action. Amen? So why ask God to search our heart when he already knows it? Well, Scripture says our heart is one of the most deceitful things, right? Without Christ, our heart is deceitful. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we have to face our shortcomings. We all deal with pride and selfishness and lust and addiction, a critical spirit. The list can go on and on. Praying this dangerous prayer of God, search me, can open a channel of communication with God. You might feel like there's a blockage between you and the Lord in your prayers. Well, here's the thing. It's possibly that that's sin in your life. It's possibly that you've let things in your life that are blocking your communication with God. That's when it's our job then to get on our face and say, Lord, search me. Know my heart. Test me. Show me, is there anything going on that doesn't honor you? And I promise you, when you position yourself into those places and you start to ask the Lord to show you, he will begin to reveal things about your personality and about how you talk to this person or your religious spirit or your negativity or whatever. He'll begin to show you those things. And then it will be your responsibility to ask him for forgiveness and ask him for healing. And he will. God is so faithful. When we've blown it and we haven't honored him like we should, he's a loving father. And so we come to him and we just ask him to forgive us, and he will. Aren't you thankful for his grace like that? And so in this beginning of this psalm, David is reflecting on his inner thoughts and the revelation of God's spirit within him. He then shifts his focus from praising God to deal with the men whom he identifies as God's enemies. But then again, quickly shifts again to God, you know what? Point out in me. Search me, Lord. One second, he's fussing and really cussing these wicked men to God. And then the next thing, he's like, all right, God, you go get them. It's all over the place. But you know what? David was known as a friend of God, right? Yeah. After God's heart. David is really like who we are. We all really are Davids, right? So imperfect, but yet our hearts are after God. As I was preparing this message this week, I asked myself the question, you know, why do I get anxious, right? Do you guys ever get anxious, have anxious thoughts? I believe a lot of it is because of our culture, right? We live in the age of anxiety. Life is so fast-paced. We have daily pressures to perform, do certain things. You know, even as a pastor, I feel that pressure all week long because I know every week Sunday's coming. I know every week Wednesday's coming. Saturday prayer time, everything, you know, everything's coming. So it doesn't matter how many meetings I have or hospital visits or phone calls, emails, prep, weddings or funerals, all that people judge really are on Sundays. And so, you know, it can cause anxiety, it can cause stress. And so I have to, you know, give that over to the Lord. How about you? How many of you have experienced anxious thoughts this week? Fear, worry, anxiety. It's all over the place. Our media pours it over. Ugh, can't wait for this election to be over, right? It's just unbelievable. The negativity and right? And then we pour it into our heart and our soul. I mean, no wonder so many of us are just a mess because we've allowed so much inside of us. What I love about David's prayer is that he recognized it's not what's happening on the outside that's making him anxious. He recognized it was his own process, his own way of thinking. It was what he allowed into his mind that was unchecked. And so he invites God to look inside, to see where he's allowed the enemy to corrupt his mind. In other words, he says, maybe there are some ways in me that are making me vulnerable to the enemy. David was willing to get brutally honest with God to pray a dangerous prayer, to expose any areas of impurity, those hidden sins, those places where he wasn't fully trusting God. So there's a couple thoughts I want to leave you with as we get ready to close. The first one is this dangerous prayer, search me, and know my heart. We need God to expose those areas of impurity in our lives. David understood that he had a problem in his heart. And in the same way, we need to understand that the Bible tells us, and let's look at Jeremiah 17:9, and that'll be on your screen. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So we need the Lord to search our hearts. We need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Because when Satan comes after you, his goal is to set up a stronghold in your life. He's coming after your destiny. He doesn't want you to be a son or daughter of Christ. He wants to steal that from you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10, right? He wants to make it so that you can't even stand to be alone with your own thoughts. And so we want to pray a dangerous prayer. We want to invite God to search us, to see if there's any offensive way in us so that we can get things turned around. Search me, O God, and know my heart. The second thing is this. We ask the Lord a dangerous prayer. Test me and know my thoughts. God, show me where I trust you least. Some of you here today, you need to ask the Lord that. Show me where I trust you the least. This is important because so often we find ourselves getting out of balance. We're anxious and stressed because we're giving too much value to the wrong things and not enough to the right things. We've got all this technology in our world that's supposed to make our life easier, and honestly, sometimes it doesn't. It's with us wherever we go. So there's a constant flow of information, and it's all coming in on the same screen, so it all looks like the same size, like it should all matter. And it doesn't. It doesn't all matter at the same level. So it causes anxiety in our life. In verse 23, that's where David says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. This is so important because we all have things that keep us up late at night. Things that we're anxious about, things that we worry about. For some of you, maybe you're worried about losing your job, or maybe you're just afraid of failing. You don't want to fail in life or as a parent. Maybe you're afraid of loss. I don't know what is keeping you up at night, and I don't know what's making you concerned or worried. But we just need to come to the Lord and say, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Show those things to me, Lord, so that I can give those over to you, so that I can trust you more. Amen? 1 Timothy 6:17 says this. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Our trust should only come in Christ, in him alone. In every situation that you're facing, no matter what it is, it comes back to, how are you trusting the Lord? David cried out in Psalm 31:3-5. He said, you are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me. For I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit in your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. David knew the faithfulness of God. He knew who his rock was. He knew who his refuge was, who he could go to in a time of need. Do you know that? Is that where you put your trust in the Lord? Is he your refuge? When you're dealing with challenging things, fear will keep us from walking in faith. Fear will keep your prayer small instead of dangerous. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? We want to trust God knowing that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and of self-discipline. If you'll be bold enough to pray these prayers, test me and know my anxious thoughts, God will reveal areas where you haven't been trusting him. But will you do it? Will you have the courage to pray those dangerous prayers? And the third thing is this, and we're almost done. The last part of this scripture is this. See if there is any offensive way in me. That's a dangerous prayer to pray. Because then instead of pointing out everybody else's the fault for whatever's going on, we take it here, right? See if there's anything offensive in me. Because often our anxiety is a direct result of a compromise in our own integrity. Here's an example. You know, how can you escape anxiety when you're worried that your wife or your husband is going to see the text messages on your phone? Right? Or how are you going to get rid of anxiety when you have multiple TikTok accounts and the one your parents think is your actual account is really a decoy? You know, a lot of times the anxiety in our life is because we've built in things that aren't honoring the Lord. We're lacking integrity, and then it causes anxiety because then we have to try to figure out how to cover it all up. Lord, see if there is any offensive way in me. No matter our age, we can pray those dangerous prayers, and the Lord can show us where we need to come to Him, where we need to ask for forgiveness, where we need to come back to the cross and just lay that stuff down. See if there is any offensive way in me. It takes courage to pray that prayer because God will begin to show you, I promise you. But if you have the courage to be honest with God, asking Him to point out any sin within your heart, this can be a game changer. Amen. Because He'll point out some things that you've tucked away, maybe even tried to explain away or even tried to deny. He will show you. He will reveal to you if you ask Him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guys, we need to take that position of repentance and confession before the Lord daily. Amen. We all are making all kinds of mistakes all the time. If you go throughout your day and you think you did real well and you didn't have any issues or problems, you probably need to ask yourself, test me, Lord, show my heart, because we all deal with pride and arrogance and self-righteousness, and we are in desperate need of God to show us in what our heart looks like ultimately. Amen. And I'm talking to me right here. I mean, I'm living this. This is where I'm at too. I want a heart that reflects Jesus. I want a heart that is pure. I want to be able to show the world the light of Jesus that's pure. Amen. That's humble. I can show the brokenness in my life, and that can help somebody else see that God can do that for them too. God can heal them. God can show up in their life. God can answer prayers, right? He's the same God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's the same God today as He was back then? So the challenge is to change how you're praying. Put away the simple, safe prayers. Start praying these dangerous prayers. You're going to see God answer them. The last verse in Psalm 139, point out anything in me that offends you, and then lead me along the path of everlasting life. Lead me in the way of everlasting. That place of surrender that says, God, just lead me. Wherever you need me to go, whatever you need me to say, I'm just going to follow after you. That point of submission where you lay down your life, you lay down your dreams, you lay down your expectations, and you just say, lead me, Lord. It's a prayer of surrender that says this, you know me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. He's the one that created us. He's been with us the whole time. He walks with us. He knows you. And when we pray these prayers, that's where real change happens. When we come into the presence of God, being still before Him, saying, God, search me. Know me. Test my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting life. That's my challenge for you guys today as we begin this series, as we begin to walk this out. And so, worship team, if you guys would come, we're going to take a few moments as we close today. And we're not going to leave yet. I'm going to give some opportunity. And the altars are going to be open, and I'm going to ask all of us here today to make an altar. So whatever that looks for you, if that means sitting in your chair, if that means kneeling in your chair, if that means coming up front to the altars up front. But I think it would be appropriate for all of us to take a moment this morning and make room for God in our lives, to make room for Him to search our hearts. So today you're going to pray one of three prayers. Search my heart, O Lord. Test my anxious thoughts. And or see if there's any offensive way in me. And So as the worship team sings, make room for you. I wanna open the altar up. And again, whether that's the altar in your chair or the altar's up here, but I think it would be appropriate for us to take some time today and pray some dangerous prayers and allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Lord to look at our hearts today, church. Amen.